We're in Matthew chapter 25 in lesson 78 in a dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And yes, that's 78 lessons in the book of Matthew. And it's taken us a long journey, hasn't it? We understand the word of God and the fact that we just take our time through a lot of things. So we're in chapter 25. And from verse 14 down to the end of the chapter, things are going to switch up a little bit, and he's talking about parables. And chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 10 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoned with them. And so he that he had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He said, Lord, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also said that had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou unto the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and sorrowful servant, thou knowest that I have reaped where I have sown not, I gather where I have sown, I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that have 10 talents. For every one that have shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that have not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Another parable that we just started, that was a long one, wasn't it? And, you know, as we was talking about losing salvation, and it seems like this man's lost salvation, that's not the issue here. And more I got to studying about some things, we're like, oh, God, what's going on? This is a national thing that God is doing with the nation Israel. A national, not an individual. And another parable regarding the absence of the Lord, and charge his servants to perform while he has gone. Look at Luke chapter, hold your finger and go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 11 through 22 is very similar to what we just read in the book of Matthew. Now Luke chapter 19, verse 9. You know who Zacchaeus was? Was he a lost man or a saved man?
Saved man.
Was he a child of Abraham or a child of not Abraham?
Abraham.
Okay, it very much says that. Zacchaeus, verse 8, says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restored him fourfold. That's an honest man, isn't it? And he says, verse 9, And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to the house, for as much as he also is the son of what? Now, if you know your Bible, in Matthew chapter 15, we've already been through that, verse 21, there's a woman that sought after the Lord Jesus Christ. He had nothing to do with her. She was not a daughter of Abraham. She was not anything. In fact, he said, it's not meet to cast my foods to the dogs and not feed his children. Okay? So look, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which are what? Was lost. Now, who's the Lord Jesus Christ come to seek? Now, we out there in the world use that as a verse to say, okay, go in all the world and seek. But who is the lost here? Do you know your Bible? It says, I come for nobody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right. That's who he came for, to seek amongst that lost nation of his. Verse 11, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should have what? Immediately appear. They had come to an understanding and believe that he was teaching about the kingdom. You believe that? That's what he's teaching. He's teaching about a kingdom of what? A kingdom of not only priests, but a kingdom that's going to be established in the earth. A physical kingdom, not no spiritualized kingdom that some of us want to spiritualize. And they teach that every day on the TV sets. Look at this. He is now teaching them that no, it's not coming, but it's going to be set up, and it's not going to be set up immediately. That's what he's going to teach them, because now he's talking about, what does that verse say? A parable, verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's leaving those people, okay? And that's what he's teaching them over here in the book of Matthew. And by this point, if you've been listening to the fact that now he's no longer going to the throne, he's going to the cross. And that's what Matthew 24, 25, and 26 is going about. He's not dealing with a kingdom. And that verse right there ought to help us in the fact that there's people out there says the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. And therefore the kingdom of God came. You probably heard that somewhere down the line, like, hey, we got to get back to Pentecost. We got to do this, because why? The kingdom of God came right there. This passage is clear that is not what's happening if you believe Luke's account here, or believe Matthew, that he's going away. And he hasn't come back yet, guys. He sent his spirit like he said he was. But he says they could not look to Pentecost and expect that to be the coming of kingdom, because he is teaching the parable to them that he's going to go away and the kingdom wasn't coming soon. Now, we know he's gone, don't we? We know that he left the earth and he hasn't come back yet, has he? And we know where he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in the heavenly places. So the parable is giving to straighten out the thinking of the millennium viewpoint, all millennium viewpoint, if you will, that the kingdom would come when the Spirit came. There's people that teaches that there's universities next door that's on their book, on their, billboard, Kingdom First. You think about that. Is God building a kingdom today? You should say no. He's not building a kingdom today. He's building a body of believers. That's what he's building. That kingdom is going to be a glorious thing one day, but we're not a part of that right now. So servants, one receives 5 talents and makes 5 good. And he increased his money there. Hey, we need him here, don't we? You know, everybody like to have somebody, hey, I had a business. But look, and he says, good and faithful servant. Ruler over many, enter the kingdom. Back in Matthew, okay? Right? He made five, he gave them five, boom. Then he, but without going through Luke's account, guys, Luke has 10 servants and he gives, God gives each one of them one. Matthew's account is five. So, you know, you don't have to, what's worried? The issue is what they're doing with it. Servant number two receives two talent, makes two talents good, and he says, and faithful servant, you ruler over many, enter into the kingdom. He didn't say, hey, ruler over two. He said the exact same thing that God said when he had five. You with me? There's no, I want you to think of rewards here. That's what I want you to be thinking. It's a reward system. So they're going in and they're going to rule over many. Then the servant three receives one talent, hides it. The Lord says, wicked and slothful servant. Guess what he lost?
His reward.
You with me on that? He didn't lose his salvation. He lost his reward. Now, that good and faithful servants will rule with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom when he comes back. Over here. And that's Revelation 5 talks about coming back. Revelation 2. And again, another example of identifying the tares with the wheat in Israel. He's separating that. Now, I want to share this with you. You don't have to believe it. I'm just going to share it with you. Six or eight times in Matthew, that expression, weeping and gnashing of teeth, is referred to. And it's never, ever referring to, and we looked at this, and you know, it's up to you to do something, but he never refers that to losing your salvation. Okay? In Matthew. Matthew's about a kingdom. Who's going in that kingdom? Now, again, it's a national issue. He's not dealing with individuals. You and I would read that passage and say, hey, that could be me. I'm going to lose. And we've been taught all our life we could lose our salvation in some situations, right? You know, I listened to a preacher today. He's like, unless you be baptized, you're not going in the kingdom. And if you're not doing this, you're going to lose your salvation and all that stuff. I'm like, I just wish he'd get it. But he, you know, some people won't. He's talking about who it is in a nation that is going to get rewards of the kingdom and who is going to lose out. And who's going to be true and faithful with that true flock and who is going to be the tares with the nation Israel. Verse 31 in Matthew. Verse 31. When you read it, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ where the Lord will sit on the throne, his throne. And that throne of, what does it say? The throne of his glory. You see that? His glory. That's his father David. David was sitting on the throne. And that was his glory. And when we get familiar with the Old Testament, you can just run verses after verses and terms appear all over the Bible with this. Let's look at some right quick. Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 20. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers. For we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy namesake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not the covenant with us. Now who's that us there?
Israel.
The throne of his. Whose glory? Israel's glory, right? Okay. The throne. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 3. And get Psalms 102. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. At that time, thou shalt call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil heart. That's over here, this millennium kingdom over here, guys. And in that kingdom, Jerusalem is going to be the throne of the Lord, the throne of His glory. It's the place in the earth where His glory, and we talk about the Shekinah glory, right? It's going to shine and is going to abide there. We talk about the outward manifestation of His presence and going to the blazing and brilliant demonstration of light. Isaiah, we looked at this before. Isaiah 60 talks about there's going to be a light. That's talking about that nation. And they're going to go out in that dark world, and they're going to sit down there in Jerusalem, and it's going to be a light right there, and all the nations of the world is going to see that light. Much like what they did in Egypt. Remember down in Goshen, that little light of mine, we sing that song, I'm going to let it shine. That was that light down there when dark, gross darkness filled the earth, and they looked down there, Egypt did, and saw that light in Israel. And you can see that light probably for miles and miles and upon miles. That light, that nation, that city is going to be a light when over here in ages to come in that dark world. And people who are cast out of that kingdom is said to be in outer darkness. See, we can take the outer darkness to be, oh man, they're cast out in a sea of forgetfulness. It's going to be outer darkness outside of that kingdom. And Psalms 102. Where the kingdom is light. Never forget that. Hey, you should have light inside of us today, shouldn't you? Amen. You know, the light of the glorious gospel that's shining, that once was in our dark hearts, it's light in there. And when people see you coming, they're going to say, there's life in Him. There's light. I want some of that. You know, not, oh, here comes Ed again. You know, don't talk about the Bible. Don't. And they run. They want to see you, and they want to see you come, and they say, I want to talk to you, Ed. But look, Psalms 102, verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. 102. There's going to be a time when the nation Israel is scattered and doesn't exist as a nation as it does today. That people says it's a nation among nations. Okay? And it says that it is written for the generations to come. The people that shall be created. Isaiah 66, you don't have to turn there, but we looked at this before. Shall a nation be that will be born in a day? There's a question there. There is a nation that's going to be born in a day. Yes, when God said, He just said, He shall create that nation, Israel, that little flock, this is where they're born again over here. See? Without getting all that. The word generation means born ones. You got generation. 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 That's born ones. So you have the throne of His glory, and the Son of Man will come to take up His kingdom. Okay? That's the Son of Man. You know what kind of title that is? It's a messianic title. The Son of Man meaning He is going to come and take up His throne in glory. Go to Daniel chapter 7. And stay in Matthew. There's a lot to be said about that throne of glory and stuff because, you know, we probably never realized, yeah, He's going to sit on the throne, so big deal. But it's going to be a big deal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, it may not mean that much to us right now because we know where we're seated in heavenly places. But on this earth, when after He takes us out of here, there's going to be gross darkness filled this earth, and they're going to need light. And people's going to be saved over here. The nation Israel is going to be saved, and they're going to have this Bible, they're going to have this book, and they're going to read about it, and they're going to believe the words on the page and identify who they are and believe it, and they get separated from that. And they become light. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Has that happened yet? You know it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. That's going to be a great day. And as the Son of Man, that is in the parable of Luke 19, so there goes into the far country and receives his kingdom and returns. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ leaving this earth and going to his Father far away and getting his kingdom. And then he returns. And that passage right there tells you about Christ going up as the Son of God before the Father, receiving the kingdom and returning. Luke. With me? He goes away and receiving a far country. Now, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come to his glory and all the angels, holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He comes back with the heavenly host to set up his kingdom. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the what? Yes. Goats. Now verse 32 down to 46. I'm not going to read that, but Matthew chapter 25. This is what we're looking at right now in those verses. The nation are divided as sheep on the right and goats on the left. You should know the passage. The sheep nations are fed and blessed the little flock of the believers during the tribulation period. And when they did it to the least of my brethren, if you read that, when did you do this? Well, look at the verse 31 right quick. Or verse 33, and he shall set up the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on left. Then shall the king say unto them that on right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the what?
World.
God has set a foundation from the world about a kingdom over there. And it's all about Israel's program. Verse 32, it says, and before him that shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the grass. You know what we call that verse? That's the judgment of the nations. When he takes the sheep, put them over here, and the goats over here. So Lord Jesus Christ is going to set up a judgment there, and he's going to separate them. There are seven judgments. If you want to write this down, if not, I know your memory banks like mine, you're going to remember it for eternity. But look, there are seven judgments in the Bible. The first one is the judgment of sin at Calvary. You know what he did there, don't you? He paid our sin debt. And without him dying, we'd be still in our sins, most miserable, the Bible says. Then the second one is the believer's self-judgment today. Paul says, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. So you can judge yourself. Ooh, do I line up? You know what I mean? So you can judge yourself. Not condemnation. I'm not talking about that. Oh, I'm never worthy. I can't do this. I'm talking about you can judge yourself and line up with the doctrine. Then the third is the judgment seat of Christ that takes place at the catching away. You're judged the Bema seat. Then one of the fourth is the judgment of the nation Israel in the tribulation period over here, when the wheat is separated from the tares. That's what you're seeing right here. You're seeing the wheat is gathered into the kingdom, and the tares is burned up in that tribulation period. There's nothing good goes in that kingdom. Excuse me. Nothing bad goes in that kingdom. The fifth judgment is the nations at the end of the tribulation period when Christ comes back. The sixth, then there's a great white throne judgment after the millennium kingdom over here. And that's where the lost of all the ages are judged. See, if you're like me, I was taught that, yeah, I'm saved, I'm going up here now and come back and get judged over here at great white throne. I used to believe that. But that's not true. If you believe the mystery program and Paul's epistles, he talks about you're judged in the beamer seat right here. For your remember we talked about wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, it's burned, but you're still yet saved by fire. That's for this program right here. But if you lost in any of this dispensation in the past or present, even in here, if you're lost, died lost, you're going to be judged over here. And the things you got to think about and then there's a judgment of the lost angels at that time also. There are seven different distinct judgments in the Bible, and one is dealing with the judgment of the nations that takes place when Jesus Christ comes back on the earth. That's what we're looking at in Matthew. This judgment of the nation takes place at the second coming. It's not the last judgment. Excuse me. It's not the last judgment of the lost. That's the great white throne I was talking about. That takes place after this millennium kingdom. This is a lot to think about.
That judgment up there for the lost, is that determine their punishment? I mean, different levels of punishment?
This white throne?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. At the judgment, there is no resurrection. The great white throne is, there is a resurrection. Everybody over here, the great white throne, is where they're dead over here, they died unsaved, they get resurrected over here, and right here, showed up in the great white throne. At the judgment, at this judgment, the living are judged. Talking about the judgment that between the sheep and that's the living people. And the great white throne, the dead, small, and the great stand before God. You with me?
At the judgment.
At the great throne.
Yeah.
Once again, let me slow down. In Matthew 25, the separating the sheep and the goats. That's what we're talking about here. They're living. They get to actually see God. He's separating. Great white throne, the dead and the great and the small is resurrected over here.
Of the lost.
Of the lost, not the saved. Because when he does this over here, he's cleansing these people to get in his kingdom. They're in. They don't get judged no more. Look at this. Here it involves nations. He's separating the nations. There, the great white throne involves individuals. You see why you can think, hey, I'm going to have to stand in front of the great white throne? You know what I mean? You don't. But it's easy to see that. Yeah, praise God. Look, and the one in Matthew that we're looking at, no books are open. But over the great white throne, books are open. It says books. And the way I identify that is when you get over here, no matter what dispensation, whether you was born in or died in a dispensation of promise, dispensation of law, dispensation of grace, dispensation of kingdom, you die lost, you're going to be judged out of the books that you was in. See, if I died lost today and go to hell and end up at the great white throne of judgment, which I believe the Bible teaches and preaches, he's not going to judge me out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are not my books. He's going to line me up right here with Romans through Philemon and said, why didn't you do this? Or whatever he's going to say, guilty. I'm not going to be able to say nothing. And you know, my heart's going to probably think, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, I gave you mercy at the cross. Depart from me. But anyway, I'm not trying to scare you or anything. But look, the judgment is on the earth at the great white throne. Heaven and earth are fled away, and there isn't any more. And you know, there's three classes of people here in this judgment. Jews, Gentiles, saved and lost. My brethren, my sheep and goats. That's what he's talking about in Matthew. There at the great white throne, there's only one class of people.
Lost.
There's no saved people over there, guys. The judgment takes place before the kingdom in Matthew. The great white throne judgment occurs after the kingdom. That's not the same. They're separated, one thing, by thousands of years. Zechariah, come with me to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. And you're going to see why they're all gathered before him. Okay? Zechariah. Verse 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thou spoil shall be divided in the midst of them of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house, was it rifled? And the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Does that sound like a glorious day to look forward to?
No.
Verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. The nations will be gathered in the tribulation at Jerusalem to fight against the Lord. We talked about the Antichrist here. He's convincing them. And when we talked about the Antichrist is going to convince not only the lost Jews, but he's going to convince the nations to saying, hey, we got to get together and fight against this guy. He's coming down here and taking everything away from you. Boy, don't that sound familiar. You know, in today's world, you know, hey, you got to gather up and fight. They're taking everything away from us. I'm like, let them have it. You know, I'd much rather be peaceful just knowing who I am in Christ. And, you know, I can eat cornbread and beans. I can humble myself. Fried taters. Anyway, I'm making you hungry now. I am. But look, Isaiah 34. Go to Isaiah 34 and Joel chapter 3.
Is that Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 through 4?
3. And go to Isaiah 34 and Joel 3. Isaiah 34. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1. Come near, ye nations. Now, is that one nation or more than one nation? To hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. Have you noticed there's a lot of people... there's a lot of passage written that the whole world, not just Israel. It's talking about the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it said, look here, you nations. You know what he's getting ready to do? He's going to gather, he's going to wipe them out.
Right.
Look, and does that sound like grace?
No.
He's not coming back here showing grace and mercy. He's coming back here, he's a lord of the war. He's a man of war. I won't be on his side knowing what's going to happen. But look, verse 2. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath uttered, destroy them. He hath delivered them to slaughter. That don't sound like a good day, does it? You may be thinking, oh my, that ain't the Lord that I was taught about. And he says, when is this though? When does this happen? Battle of Armageddon. And I want you to see, he gathers them all together. Go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Amen. Joel chapter 3.
I think she said amen.
Verse 1. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plea with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So they're scattered, aren't they? Now, they're not together right now, guys and gals. They're still scattered. Mm-hmm. There are more Israelites in New York City than there is in the whole world right now. Mm. They are. But look, verse 11. Assemble yourself and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourself together round about. Thither calls thou mighty ones to come down, O Lord. The Lord is going to establish a real United Nations when this happens, and gather them all together, and then the armies of heaven are going to come down on them. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Verse 12, let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. That's over here when he comes back. That's the battle of Armageddon. And multitudes are in that valley of decisions. It's coming. Zechariah 3. There's a verse, many of you may know this, there's a verse written on the wall across the street of the United Nations building in New York City. And they wrote Isaiah 2 there. And beat your swords into plowshares. That's what they want all the world to do.
Yeah.
Beat your swords into plowshares. Look at what did I say?
Zechariah 3.
What's the other one? Zephaniah? Zephaniah?
Zephaniah.
Yeah, go there. Zephaniah.
You don't want the Zechariah?
No, not Zechariah. Zephaniah. This is what they should have written. Zephaniah.
Which is located between what?
Nehemiah and Habakkuk and page 961 if you got a real Bible. Zephaniah. Chapter 3. It's Haggai. Is it Haggai? It's between Haggai and Hezekiah.
61. You got the right Bible.
Okay, there you go. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until that day, to the day that I rise up to the prey, That's the second advent. For my determination is to gather the nations. See his determination?
Mm-hmm.
Gather the nations. And people are saying, yay! But look, the Lord is getting ready to get us all together. That's what the politicians should say. Look, why, Lord, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the world shall be devoured with fire. All the earth shall be devoured with fire of my jealousy. The Lord is going to get all the nations together and sit in a judgment on them and destroy the wicked. And as you see what's going on here, the reward, the righteousness is getting the reward. That's what Matthew chapter 25 verse 32 is all about. Go back there, I'm getting ready to close. Matthew chapter 25 verse 33. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. As shepherd divided his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. You know who the sheep were in the Bible?
They were the bleeding.
Israel are the sheep in the Bible, and this is the only verse in the Bible that Gentiles, if you want to use this, and can be called sheep. And the only reason why that can be is the other nations can remember Abraham's covenant? I'll bless those who bless thee. There are people over here that's going to bless the nation Israel. A lot of Gentile nations over are going to bless Israel, and they're going to get that blessing. And that's why he says, verse 34, Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come ye blessed of my Father. That is Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, if you want to write that down beside your verse. He says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
That's just for the Old Testament. That's not for us today.
That has nothing to do with us today. We've got to remember, staying in context, in the book of Matthew, is not pertaining to you and I today. Now, we can learn from it. We may be able to gain some knowledge out of it because, you know what? There's some things in there I want to line myself up with God right now. You know, one is about that darkness. I want to be a light. You know, Dispensational Bible Church should be a light in this area, no matter where we're at, you know, and all. But Christ is announcing the long-awaited. That's what he's doing in Matthew 25 through the end of the chapter. He's announcing that long-awaited Abrahamic blessing. In thy seed, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, you think about Abraham, and we talk about Abraham quite a bit. Abraham was saved before circumcision or after circumcision?
Before.
Okay. He believed God. Okay. And when he believed God, it counted him for righteousness. And in that seed, through that faith of Abraham, we are blessed. Okay. That's what we can call him Father Abraham. Whether you want to or not, I can. I call him Father Abraham because he's a father of faith. He shows me what faith is all about, but believing God without works. With me? Then you have the gospel of circumcision. That's what the good news, what God is doing through Abraham. That's what they preached here. Peter and them had a gospel of circumcision. What God is doing through the circumcision that he promised through Abraham. Paul is, in the other hand, giving you a gospel of the uncircumcision, what God was doing in Abraham before the circumcision. So that's what Matthew chapter 25, rest of the chapter, is all about lining them up with this kingdom program over here. Father, we do thank you for the day you're giving us. We thank you for the books that we can receive joyfully through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.